please the court. My name is Vicki Stamm, and I represent Joshua and Lindsay Clement in regard to an adoption of Autumn Galvin. I think as the court will see, we filed a petition for adoption in January of 2018, alleging essentially that Jordan Galvin had abandoned Autumn in the 6 months preceding the filing of the petition for adoption. The evidence that came into court was that essentially it had been 3 years since Jordan Galvin had physically seen Autumn, and a year and a half prior to the filing, since he had spoken to her on the phone. Judge Wetzel, when he heard the case in September of 18, found essentially, I would say he found that Jordan had abandoned this child, but found just cause for the abandonment. Essentially, he found that as part of the parenting plan that Lindsay Galvin Clement had with Jordan Galvin, that the visitation was essentially guided by his mental illness. He had criminal things going on at the time and substance abuse.
And that parenting plan had been mutually agreed upon at the time. That wasn't a court ordered. It was mutually agreed upon.
That's correct. That's correct. It was.
So the parties anticipated he needed some treatment and rehabilitation?
Well, if the court will look back, I think the record is clear why that came into effect is that Jordan, and you'll see in the testimony, his mom used to provide the supervision, and during one of her supervised visits that she helped with Autumn, he had taken the child and absconded and ended up with criminal charges for violation of a protection or violation of a custody order. So that provision was something we put into the parenting plan because we knew that Jordan had a lot of things going on at the time. But I think what Judge Wetzel missed out of that parenting plan is that it did not suspend his visitation with Autumn. He still had every other Sunday, 8 to 8, as long as it was supervised by a person that was mutually agreed upon and or a supervision agency. And we put that in because Jordan's mom had previously supervised visitations between Jordan and Autumn. But after that incident that occurred when he had the criminal charges, she stepped back and said, I'm not going to do it anymore. And so I think Judge Wetzel missed the rest of what the parenting plan said, and essentially he still could have supervised visitation with Autumn. That wasn't taken away.
But did he testify that it became harder to find somebody who was willing to do it?
Well, he said his parents wouldn't do it, and I don't know how hard he tried to find an organization to do it. And the parenting plan says if it's a person that's mutually agreed upon by the parties, that person can also do it. I don't think he provided any testimony that he told my client, hey, John Smith will come supervise the visitation, and she said no. I don't think there's any testimony that he had made other efforts to find somebody else to do the supervision. And the parenting plan provided for the organization if he couldn't find somebody or if they couldn't agree upon it. So it's not like Lindsay could have stopped the parenting time of the every other Sunday as long as he put forth the effort to do something or stop the holiday. Again, we had holiday visitation, everything in the parenting plan. It also said in the parenting plan that he could have other visitation as mutually agreed upon by the parties. And I understand that is pretty standard language that we have in parenting plans, but again, there were other avenues that Jordan could take to see his child. And again, there was a provision in there about telephone contact. He could have telephone contact. My client testified her number hadn't changed. He had her number.
Didn't he testify that to attempts to call that were unsuccessful?
He testified he began making attempts after he'd gotten my request to relinquish parental rights, which mm-hmm. was 2 weeks prior to my filing of the petition for adoption. But he also testified that through his treatment that he was at in South Dakota, he could make calls. He left the treatment in January of 18 to come deal with court cases. It wasn't like he was being held hostage against his will in South Dakota at the treatment facility. He came and dealt with other situations. He could have come and dealt with his daughter or seen his daughter or made attempts. And I think what I want you to also realize is he didn't make any attempts. His parents were seeing Autumn. Their testimony, I think, grandfather's testimony was, yes, Lindsay lets us see Autumn. We do holidays. We get to take her to programs. We get to do those types of things. Jordan knew that because they were sending him pictures of Autumn. So how easy would it have been to say, hey, Mom and Dad, I know you're going to see Autumn. Here's something for her birthday. You know, could you tell her I love her? Anything. There wasn't any of those messages being passed back and forth for 3 years. And I don't know, I do a lot of juvenile work. I'm going to say that this is akin to our motions to terminate parental rights. When a parent has 15 out of 22 months to rehabilitate themselves, and you all have heard plenty of cases about 15 out of 22 months. Well, this had been 3 years. 3 years that this provision had been in the parenting plan. What had Jordan done? He'd been in and out of jail, which Judge Wetzel acknowledged was his own doing, obviously, so he doesn't get to hide behind that. He had PTSD. He suffered from substance abuse issues. Absolutely. All self-imposed, other than the PTSD, which was being dealt with through the military. And the military and the veterans were trying to help him deal with that. But he himself wasn't doing anything. If I was before you on a parental rights where DHHS had taken the kids, you'd be telling me that's too bad. They had 22 months to get their stuff back together and be able to come and be a parent to this child. So how long does Autumn have to wait for her dad to get things together and decide that he's going to be a parent? He didn't pay child support during this any until we got right before the hearing. I think he started to pay shortly after filed the petition for adoption, and then it was only menial payments. He hadn't done anything. So how long is the court going to say that that's just cause? That the provision in the parenting plan that says he needs to get his stuff back together is just cause? Because if you're going to tell me that today, then when somebody tries to file a termination against one of my clients, I'm going to say, yeah, I see the DHHS case plan and court report, but that's just cause. He just couldn't get it done, and he gets more time. I mean, it's absurd that this child is going to get to linger for years and years just because of that provision, and Jordan needs to get everything together.
Does it go to how difficult it is in our adoption statutes to show abandonment?
Oh, absolutely.
This is not a unique situation.
Absolutely. I have judges tell me all the time that unless I have I'm completely giving up on this child, it's going to be darn tough to prove abandonment.
Did you plead or try to prove any of the other portions of the adoption statute?
No, simply abandonment.
It was solely on the abandonment?
Yes.
Do you think that this case is a little more difficult in that circumstance because the parenting plan anticipated future mental health problems and treatment? Does that make this a little bit different if that had not been in that parenting plan?
I think Judge Wetzel wouldn't have found just cause if I wouldn't have put that in the parenting plan, because he's letting Jordan say, well, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Look, that parenting plan, I have mental illness. I have criminal problems. So I don't know. I don't know.
Your position is the phone calls didn't happen until after you asked for him to relinquish?
I think he said it was maybe late December of 17, after he'd received some paperwork for us or got served by the sheriff or something like that, that he had started to make actual efforts.
So I show that he testified he did eventually, he was able to call every other week while he was up in South Dakota?
I knew that, I will agree that that he had the opportunity to. I don't know that he said that he did. I know that, and you will find the testimony being that in March of 2017, they did have a period of time where he called consistently, and obviously my client let him call and talk to Autumn, but I don't know if there was anything really past that of any nature. So I don't know. To me, it's much like I say, the 15 out of 22 months. How long do we have to go before I can show that he doesn't have any interest in Autumn? I think the second prong, obviously, is best interest, which I believe Judge Wetzel essentially found that it would be in her best interest because Josh Clement could provide emotionally, stability, financially, all those things. So it comes down to abandonment, and I guess what you're going to define as just cause for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Erin Urbom, and I represent Jordan Galvin, the biologic father of Autumn Galvin. I want to give the court a little bit more history about Mr. Galvin. Mr. Galvin was an active duty Army member. He got out of the Army, went to the VA. He testified that they pumped him full of narcotics in order to get him through a lot of his PTSD. When they did that, they didn't do him a service. They made him addicted to painkillers, methamphetamine. He went on to use illegal substances. When we did the parenting plan, Ms. Galvin, now known as Ms. Clement, was well aware of Jordan's issues, and she was well aware of that when she came back, and she had this child with Jordan after he was out of the Army. So Ms. Galvin and Clement was very aware of Jordan's issues and his needs to get treatment. And this wasn't like a standard go to St. Francis for a 30-day treatment. This was a long-term extended treatment. He had a lot of difficulties. He had to go to the Grand Island VA. Then he had to go up to South Dakota to that VA. He also had some criminal issues in Hall County where he had some jail time. And he was put on probation. As part of probation, he had to comply with the terms of that and attend treatment. In treatment, he testified that he didn't have a cell phone for a period of time. When he got to South Dakota, he was able to get a Verizon account and make telephone calls to Lindsay. I believe the statutory limit is looking at 6 months prior to the filing of the petition. If we looked at those 6 months, he did have contact with Lindsay during that time. Just because he tried to get contact with Autumn during those times and Lindsay's not allowing that, doesn't mean that he doesn't have that intent to be a parent. I think that's huge. Ms. Clement provided a timeline of when Jordan would call. He called on August 10th of 2017, and then he called again on December 24th of 2017. So that 6 month period of time was not even met for that abandonment purpose. He was up in treatment in South Dakota. If he was supposed to have supervised visitation, his family support system around Grand Island was not the best. His parents were caught in a hard place, both his mom and dad, who were separated. If they would provide any support to Jordan, they would be cut off from Lindsay and seeing Autumn through Lindsay. They would have a lot of time with Autumn, and Lindsay would arrange that with them. But if they would give Jordan time or supervise those visits, they would essentially be caught off as grandparents.
Was there evidence? Did the grandparents testify that?
Yes, both Jordan's mother and father testified at the court hearing.
And said that, did Lindsay tell them she would cut off their contact with Autumn if they allowed Jordan?
I believe they said that if they allowed that contact with Jordan, that their relationship with Autumn would dissipate. And so he doesn't have a supervisor. He's in treatment. He can't have a job because he's in treatment. So he can't provide for a supervising agency, which is around like $40 an hour to do that.
Was the evidence that Autumn was not interested in talking to him when he phoned? That she resisted that as well?
I believe the testimony is in that paperwork that Ms. Clement provided to the trial court. She would put notes on there. And I don't believe Autumn wanted to have that time with her dad. Jordan tried to get a hold of Autumn, or get a hold of Lindsay on Facebook. He tried to call the public schools to see if he could get a hold of her through the public school system. He had no luck doing any of that. He did send like a candy bar and like some little trinkets of what he and Autumn used to do, and it was like their kind of special things going back and forth. So he did do that. And if the court does look at abandonment and in re interest of LV, abandonment for the purpose of Nebraska Revised Statutes 43-292-1 is a parent's intentionally withholding from a child without just cause or excuse the parent's presence, care, love, protection, maintenance, and opportunity for the display of parental affection for the child. I don't think Jordan had that intent to withhold anything from Autumn. I think he was going through so much in order to get himself back to a place that he could be a parent. He has to take care of himself. I don't think it's fair to have a mom who finds a new husband to go in and try and terminate the biological father's parental rights. I don't think you can pick and choose who you want to be your child's father. For the purpose of abandonment, if we say that we only look at this time period and just because he didn't have any physical contact, if a parent goes off to treatment more than 6 months, the other parent can just go in and terminate that person's parental rights. Or if a person goes overseas, if an Army person goes overseas for a year, another parent could come in and just ask the court to terminate the parental rights because there's no physical contact. Here, there was telephone calls. There was gifts being sent. There wasn't that physical contact, but I don't think that's what these statutes are designed for.
Don't they have to show, really, the father would have an intent to just totally desert the child?
Yes, and I don't think that was proven in this case.
And don't we look, I know the 6 month for abandonment, but doesn't the case law also say you can look at time periods before and after that, that that's relevant evidence?
Right, and they do say that, that you can look at like a broader sense and looking at those other 6 months. And so even after Jordan was served with the petition to terminate, he called every day. Before that, he testified that he called every week, every other week, prior to having this served upon him.
How do you respond to Ms. Stamm's argument that if this was a juvenile parental termination case, that we would look at 15 of the last 22 months where the child has been out of the parent's home, and we would find a statutory basis to terminate on that regard? How long is Autumn supposed to wait for a relationship here, a true relationship?
Autumn is different from a juvenile case. In a juvenile case, there's no parents. You know, if the court's going to terminate parental rights, they're going to terminate on both parents, not just one parent. So Autumn has got a mother. I mean, she has her mother, Lindsay, and a stepdad. So it's not like she's going without that parental love and affection. She has that. But we can't just cut off a parent's parental rights because they're going to treatment or they're taking care of themselves in order to get them to a better place where they can be a better parent. So I think they are completely different.
And there's no case law that says you apply the juvenile termination law to the adoption law, is there?
No. I think you just look at those six categories, and they chose abandonment. And so after they choose that, then they have to show the best interest. And so I'm asking the court to affirm Judge Wetzel's decision.
Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How much time is remaining for Ms. Stamm?
1 minute. I only want to leave you with briefly to respond to what Ms. Urban said. Jordan had plenty of opportunities to go to treatment. Yes, it's not a 6 month treatment. He had the vets that were helping him. Through probation, they were helping him. His own actions through the criminal cases, those types of things. Jordan Galvin was getting the opportunity to do whatever he needed to do to rehabilitate himself through whatever organization that we look at. He wasn't taking advantage of it. And he wasn't completing it. He left the one in South Dakota early without completing it. He hadn't completed the vets one that he had started, I think, in Lincoln. That is Jordan Galvin's pattern. Start something, quit it. Start something, quit it. And so I just want to leave you with Josh Clement is here to be, going to be here for Autumn for the rest of her life, whether you let him adopt her or not. But he wants to adopt her, and he's willing to be there 24/7 for her. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both, counsel. Appreciate your attendance here.